Good morning. I feel like I'm not in the middle. There we go. I realized something this morning, that in August of this year, I became a prophet. Because I prophesied that we were going to win the World Cup. But there was one guy that's a greater prophet than me. And I saw him in the news this week. Because in this week, he actually tattooed on his calf the William Webb Ellis Trophy with the date 2023, and it said Springboks. I think that's a greater prophet than me. You know, since we've started this series, it's been more than just a series of studying Revelation and prophecy and Daniel. It's almost like God is doing something in our hearts, and I hope that we'll share about that this morning as I want to wrap up this series on Daniel and speaking about how do we live from prophecy. Because the fact that you are seated here this morning is a result of prophecy. God spoke to Ross, and he shared this story a little while back when he was speaking here, and he spoke about this word that God gave him about, you build my church, and I will raise up people to fight these fights. It's part of the mission statement of this church, to release potential, to help you discover who Christ made you to be, to raise you up to be an influence in the city. See, that's why you're here, so that we can help you, equip you, and that's a prophetic word that he bases his life on. That's one of the things that God gave him, and God showed him this picture of Durban and started showing him this picture that how this fire was starting to burn in Durban. You started seeing all these sparks flying, and the sparks started igniting other things. And that's why we will never stop planting new sites. I hope that's why you get excited with us when we see God being influenced in the city. That's part of prophecy. You are a fulfillment of that word that God has given to you. Now, since we started this series, I shared this actually at the Kloof campus, but not here. But because since the series started, there was this man called Lauren Cunningham. He was the founder of YWAM. And have you ever heard of YWAM? Youth with a Mission. It's the largest missions organization in the world. And I remember when I was 15 years old. Now, when I was about 14, I really got serious with God, and I said, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, serve you as full-time as I can. And so when I got to about 15 years old, Lauren Cunningham actually came and preached at our church. And I will never forget, I came in early, and I wanted to sit in the second row. You know, you can never sit in the front row. The pastor sits here, you know. So I had to sit in the second row. And I sat there right in the middle in front of this guy, and he came and he stood in, and this was the first words to come out of his mouth. He says, rejoice with me, for I have just preached in my 100th country. And I'm sitting there as a 15-year-old and go, what? You've preached in 100 countries? Come on. Not visited, not went on holiday. You've preached. And I'm thinking to myself, I haven't even been outside of South Africa. You've preached in 100 countries. And as he said those words, I just prayed this silent prayer. And I said, God, let that be me one day. And then he started proceeding, and he started preaching on this verse in Psalm 2, verse 8. And it says, ask of me, and I'll give you nations as your inheritance. And he says, anybody want that? I want to pray for, I mean, I was the first guy stood up, I'm sure of it. And I said, and he prayed this prayer. Lord, use these people to influence the nations. And then many years later, I decided to do a crazy thing. I decided to get married. And then my best friend from high school, whom I got to watch the rugby with last night, which was pretty cool. When I decided to get married, he came to me and he said to me, you know, I'm going to be best man. I got to do a speech at your wedding. He goes, by the way, how many countries have you now preached in? I said, I don't know. I've never counted them. He says, well, let's pull out a map. Let's start counting these countries. So we started counting the countries, how many countries I've now preached in. And it turned out that I had preached at that time in 126 countries. Wow. It's in that minute that you realize God answers prayer. God honors His word. God honors vision. In that same year, in my youth group, we had a guy called Scott Wesley Brown. Any of you ever heard of him? I always joke with him because he's got these little fat fingers. But man, that guy can play the guitar. And he wrote a famous song. A lot of you will not know it because we're talking about when the dinosaurs were still on the earth. And he wrote this song called, Please Don't Send Me to Africa. You never heard that song? Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I will serve you in suburbia. And he came in my youth group, and he was singing, and in the middle of the song, he stopped. And he looked at me, and he prophesied. He says, one day, God's going to use you in Africa. And I started singing, please don't send me to Africa. And I started traveling the world, and I started doing things. And then I became this mission strategy coordinator for Africa, and I bring to almost every country in Africa. Preach the gospel. You start realizing how God fulfills His word. I think I can tell you many stories. And I know that there's a word that God has spoken over your life. There's something that God has spoken to you. Maybe it hasn't come true yet. That's okay. But there's something that we can hold on to. I've got six more stories, but I'm not going to just for time's sake this morning. I'll tell them in the second service, so come back. But here's the thing. When we start speaking about Daniel, Daniel was a man that lived from prophecy. See, as we spoke through this series on Daniel, we spoke about a man who diligently studied the scriptures. It's a man of prayer, spent time with God, and God spoke back to him. And it's in the speaking back that God gave him words, God gave him visions, God gave him interpretations, God gave him prophecies, not over just only over people's lives, but over events, about end times, and so on. And I want to take you, listen to what Jesus had to say about Daniel. We pick this up in Matthew 24 and verse 15. In verse 15, it says, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. If we do another series on the end times, I'll come back to this verse and tell you what that means. But for me, it's about the preceding verses. They won't be up on the screen. But the preceding verses here in 12, 13, 14, he speaks, so let me just read verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom, the good news of God's kingdom reigning on this earth, all over, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony. Remember this word, testimony, to all nations, and then the end will come. And so then, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Few things to note about what Jesus says. Well, first of all, Jesus validates Daniel as a prophet. Jesus calls him a prophet. And Jesus is actually speaking about prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled yet. As a matter of fact, it still hasn't been fulfilled. And then Jesus says these words. He says, let the reader understand. Jesus is saying, don't be a confused Christian. Have something to hold on to. Know what God is saying. Let us actually be someone who understands prophecy. Now, when we get to the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, we find right here in the middle of 1 Corinthians, we find these three chapters. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And all these three chapters speaks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever read those? I'll read this to you. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I think he's echoing the words of Jesus. I want you to understand. Do not be uninformed about these gifts. And so he writes this whole chapter on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And then they go on in 1 Corinthians 14. It's like there isn't a it's like there's a split in 1 Corinthians 13. It's almost like Paul interrupts himself. And that's, you know what 1 Corinthians 13 is? It's the story of love. Love is patient, love is kind, you know? And it's almost like Paul is writing about the gifts and he pauses and he goes, you're not going to get the gifts if you don't understand that we need to love. Now, my Bible, if I read it and I open it up there, there's actually a heading on the top and it says, the way of love. How it describes 1 Corinthians. The way of love. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, he goes on, he says, now follow the way of love. Follow this way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. There's many gifts, but all of us can prophesy. All of us have this gift. He says, go seek that gift because God wants to give it to you. It's not a hidden gift. It's just for some people. It's for all of us. He goes on in verse 2. He says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. So here it is. Tongues is this personal thing. It's between me and God. Paul says, man, I wish, you know, all of you spoke in tongues. I mean, speak in tongues as often as you can. He says, but, where am I? Does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, but they utter mysteries by the Spirit. He says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, for their encouraging and comfort. So all prophecy, every word is always positive. All prophecy is there for strengthening, for encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And I hope that we'll do that this morning. And I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. I know when we speak about prophecy and about Book of Revelation, the Book of Daniel, the end times, it could be one of the most confusing topics for Christians, and a lot of us don't understand, but hopefully today we can kind of unconfuse it. How many of you have heard of this thing called a skeleton key or a master key? It's that one key that can unlock every house in the building. Today I want to give you the master key to unlocking and understanding prophecy. It's a very simple key. Do you know what it is? It's one word. You have it? It's called Jesus. All of prophecy can only be understood from the lens of Jesus. Can only ever understand from how we understand how Jesus speaks and how we're supposed to respond to it. Everything is about Jesus. Jesus says this about himself in John 5, verse 39. And Jesus says, when you study the scriptures diligently, just like Daniel did, he studied the scriptures diligently. He says, because you think that in them you have eternal life. He says, these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Remember that word testimony? All prophecies, testimony, in essence, is Jesus. Let me read to you that same verse from the Message paraphrase. I like it better. It says, you have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there, but you miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me. You know, when we started reading stories like Daniel, I've asked this from this pulpit before. I said, how many of you have read the book of Revelation? Some of you. How many of you liked the book of Revelation? How many of you understood the book of Revelation? Right? You know, because when we read about the end times and we read about wars and rumors of wars and all these weird things, we get anxious. Why? Because we miss the forest for the trees. We have our eyes on so many other things. You know, we see the bad. We see the stuff we're going through in our own lives. The stuff we're struggling with, our circumstance, our situations, but we never see Jesus in the middle of it. That's why Daniel was such an amazing story when we spoke about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were thrown in the fiery furnace. Who was with them? Jesus. Do we see Jesus in the middle and Jesus having a word for us in this season? Revelation 19:10. When we get to the end of this book, everything that God wanted to say to us, the fullness of time, and we get to the very last, almost second last chapter of this book, third last chapter, Jesus speaks these words and he says, "For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." You get my idea? Now we know Daniel in the book of Revelation is the most quoted book. And Daniel saw visions. He interpreted dreams. He saw future kingdoms. As a matter of fact, Daniel prophesied about four successive kingdoms rising and falling. As a matter of fact, he was so accurate in his prophecy that when he spoke about the third kingdom, when he started speaking about these Medo-Persian kingdoms, he actually accurately prophesied about Alexander the Great. You remember Alexander the Great? That's a great story. Alexander the Great, he had a dad. His name was Philip. Philip conquered the city called Cronidus. He changed it to his own name, called it Philippi, which Paul wrote the letter to Philippians about. And he had the son, Alexander the Great, that conquered the world. And there's the story of how Alexander the Great came through Israel, and he was on his way down to Egypt when he took a side trip and he went up to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, there was a whole procession waiting for him. Who was waiting for him? The priests, the prophets. They came outside the city gates of Jerusalem, and they welcomed him. And they gave him a gift. And the gift they gave him is they gave him a scroll of the book of Daniel. And when he read the story, he actually recognized himself in the story. And in that, he didn't destroy Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, he asked for as many copies of the Old Testament scrolls as he can, and he took it down to Egypt, to his headquarters, his head office in the city of Alexandria, named after himself, which became one of the seven wonders of the world, the library in Alexandria, which now lies under the water. And here's the thing, Alexander the Great was so taken by the story that he actually forced the sages of the time to study the scriptures. Isn't that amazing? You see God's word through history, through time, doing so many things. And now when Daniel describes these events, when he describes the end times, he talks about them in seasons. You know that all of us go through seasons. And I believe God has a season word. A word for the season you're in, but also a word for the hope of the season to come. And so these seasons, we're going to read this now in Daniel chapter 9. These seasons, he calls weeks. And before we get into this idea of weeks, this is this Hebrew word called Shavua, which literally means not weeks, but years or seasons. It's actually a season of 7 years. The NIV in this verse in Daniel 9 verse 24 starts with 70 sevens. If you read, for example, the King James or something like that, it speaks about 70 weeks. But it's this idea of 70 sevens. So let me read this to you. It says, get this, understand this. This is what Jesus was referring to, because Jesus was now quoting this chapter that I'm now reading to you from Matthew 24. Jesus is quoting this. He says, 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgressions. What was Daniel prophesying about? He was prophesying about Jesus. That there is this Jesus coming, and he is going to finish transgression. There will be no more sin. He says, I will put an end to this sin. To atone for wickedness and to bring in everlasting righteousness. He's talking about heaven. Talking about the end times. To seal up vision and prophecy meaning it's going to come to an end, and to anoint the most holy place. And that means where Jesus was crowned. He was prophesying. He saw this picture. And now he's echoing these same words that Jesus was saying. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, you have to remember Jerusalem was in ruins. From the time that this word goes out that Jerusalem is going to be restored until the anointed one. This word, anointed one, the Hebrew word is Mashiach, Messiah. That's why I told you when we started the series that Daniel is the only prophet in the Old Testament that actually names Jesus by name. Calls him Jesus or calls him Messiah. We call him Jesus Christ. You know that Christ wasn't Jesus' last name, right? The word Christ, Christos, means, it's Greek as Christos, the Hebrew, is Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus means salvation. Jesus is our salvation. He's our Messiah. He's prophesying this. He saw this picture. It's Jesus, this anointed one. And he will become the ruler. When this ruler comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death, and he will have nothing. He's speaking about Jesus, Messiah. He will die, and he did. The people of the ruler will come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And we know that happened. That's a prophecy that's been fulfilled. That happened in 70 AD when the Jerusalem, the temple was destroyed. The end will come like a flood. War will continue. I believe we're living in that time now. Until the end, and desolations have been decreed. And here's the verse, 27. And he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifice and the offering, and the temple will set up an abomination that causes desolation. Until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Did you get all of that? Good, let's pray. Thank you. No, I'm joking. Let me unpack this a little. Daniel saw 70 sevens. He saw 70 seasons of seven. If your math is good, 70 times seven, it's 490. So Daniel, in his lifetime, saw 490 years of prophecy. How amazing is that? He saw 490 years of prophecy. But he splits them up into two. We read that. I want to explain this to you this morning. He spoke about the first seven, the first season of seven. The first seven sevens speaks about 49 years. See, Daniel saw a vision of the return of the Jewish people from exile back to Jerusalem to go rebuild the temple. This came to fulfillment with the prophet Ezra. Ezra went back. You can read that. Zerubbabel, Zechariah, you can read those stories about how they rebuilt the temple. And it says, previously in our verse, it says, in verse 25, it says, no one understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So the word came out. King Cyrus became king. King Cyrus says, here's the word. I'm going to send them back. And they went back, and it was that first season where they got to rebuild the temple. And then the next one, he says, then there's going to be 62 sevens. 62 sevens later. If you didn't know, I did the math for you. That's 434 years. And then what did he say is going to happen after that seven? After, in verse 26, after the 62 sevens, the anointed one, the Messiah, will be put to death. If you do the math, from the time the word went out Exactly. To the day. 434 years later, it was the year 30 AD, and Jesus died on a cross. How accurately did he prophesy about the Messiah? Now, nothing excited Daniel more than that revelation, that prophecy, the prophecy about Jesus. Not about the wars, not about the kingdoms. He saw the kingdoms, but he knew the kingdoms must fall so that the kingdom will come. He saw this picture. And this is just to show that although Daniel did prophesy over people's lives, like Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, he accurately prophesied these different kingdoms, but this prophecy excited him the most. And here's the thing. When he actually had a revelation for the first time, because remember we said when he came into exile, he was about 16. This is now happening when he's in his 80s. So for the first time in his life, he has a revelation of who Jesus is. Church, have you had a revelation of who Jesus is? And he had a revelation, and he was so excited. And when he got it, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. It's the first time we ever read about this angel. We've never heard of him before. And here comes this angel Gabriel. And Gabriel appears to him and says, yes, you've got it. This is about the Messiah. And when do we hear about Gabriel next? In the very first chapters of the New Testament. And what did Gabriel come and do? He said, Jesus is coming. We probably read this story when it comes to Christmas now. We'd like to read this story. The angel appeared and you will have a son and you will call him Jesus. And then when do we hear about this Gabriel again? We hear about this Gabriel when he introduces the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. So we kind of see him here in the Old Testament. We see him right in the middle and we see him here at the end. And I want to read you this in Revelation 1 verse 1. And it says, the revelation from Jesus Christ. That's why when I ask this question, how many of you like the book of Revelation, understand the book of Revelation? I think a lot of Christians do not understand the book of Revelation because they never read the first verse of the book of Revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not the revelation of the dragons. This is not the revelation of the end times. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel. Who's this angel? Gabriel. We'll see that later in the book of Revelation. And he sent his angel, this Gabriel, to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. Reminds me of the words of Jesus. I do nothing on this earth that I didn't see my Father do. He's a man of prayer, man of intimacy, man of relationship with God. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's that word again. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. That's why you're so blessed today. And take it to heart. What is written in it? Because the times are near. There was a professor of Old Testament theology. His name was Barton Payne. Died in the 1970s. He was a professor at Wheaton. I loved his writings. But he wrote a book called The Fulfillment of the Prophecy in Jesus Christ. And he found that there are 574 references in the Old Testament to Jesus. Another guy called Alfred Edersheim, he was a Jewish man, became a Christian, who wrote a whole lot of books. He found that there were 456 verses directly mentioning the name of Jesus in the Old Testament. And he reckons that just at the birth of Jesus, over 300 of those prophecies were fulfilled in 1 second. See, all these prophecies was about one thing, a season. Everything awaits a season. And all these prophecies was about one thing, so that Jesus will be glorified. when I had these prophetic words over my own life about where I'm going to be and what I'm going to do in ministry, I was so excited, and I went to go share this with one of my spiritual fathers, one of my mentors. And I looked at him and I said, one day, I'm going to do great things for God. And he goes, yes, and I'm going to pray that never happens. And I looked at him and go, what are you smoking? And he goes, no, you don't get it. I don't want you to do great things for God. I'm going to pray that God will do great things through you. And we won't steal his glory. It's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's about, and if you've got this, Jesus. Our lives are meant to glorify Jesus. So, this is verse, it's a prophecy. It's the book of Habakkuk. Prophecy that Habakkuk had. It's highlighted here in my Bible, all some of the prophetic words God gave me. But I want to end today with this verse here in Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It waits for the season. And it speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, hear these words, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come to pass. God has spoken words over you. So many years, when I was a kid and I read this verse, write it down on tablets, it didn't make sense. Until Steve Jobs came around and gave us tablets. Would you take out your tablet? Could be your phone this morning. Just, I want you to take out your phone. Because what I want you to do is take your tablet and for a second, close your eyes just for a sec. We're going to go back to that. You know, God has spoken words over your life. And those words has probably not come true yet. Because guess what? They await a specific time. And the encouraging word that Jesus wants to give to you today is, I still have your number. I'm still involved in your life. The words I've spoken to you will come to pass. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out your phone, your tablet, and I open your notes. I just want you to find a place where you can type something. And I just want you to, for a few seconds, a few minutes with me, would you focus on the Lord? Let the Lord this morning remind you of the prophecies he's spoken over your life. Because can you imagine? Can you imagine all those prophecies coming true? Can you imagine Jesus getting the glory? Can you imagine Jesus magnified for honoring his word in your life? It's going to be like these sparks that God gave Ross. It's just going to be in the city. We're just going to see these sparks when people start realizing that God is speaking to them. So for a second, I want to pray, Jesus, right now, you said that we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So Lord, in this moment, take every thought and bring it under your obedience. And Holy Spirit, won't you come right now and remind every person of that word that you've spoken over their life. For some, it could be a scripture. For some, it could be a prophecy that somebody spoke over your life. For some of you, it was a word that you've written down at some point that God gave you. I just want you to call that into remembrance. Would you write that down right now? Put it on your phone. Why? So you can have a reference point. You can go back to it. You can go back to this place where Jesus is just speaking to you. Write it down. Make it plain so that the angel, the herald, can run with it. Because it awaits this time. And Lord, I want to pray for these seasons that we're in right now. For those that are in this amazing season of your grace, of your goodness and your kindness and your faithfulness and just favor and so much things, Lord, bless them, Lord. Bless them for the season they're in. But speak to them in the season, Lord, about what it is that they need to do, what they need to accomplish. For those of us, Father, that's going through a tough time right now, there's a season where things are not working out. It feels like we're just going and going. And here's the thing. Guys, if you are going through a season right now and you haven't had a breakthrough, keep going. Keep going. It's not the end. Because God says, when I finish, when it's about Jesus, it's going to be encouraging. So God, I want to pray for people that are in that season. Speak to them in this season right now. In the season of hardship and difficult things, speak to them. Give them a word that they can hold on to. Speak to them. Lord, may they see at the end of every season, may they see Jesus. May they just see you standing there with your arms. We sang all those songs this morning. Every single song just came from this stage was so prophetic over your life. So prophetic. Take it. And hold on to that. And now that you have a working document, it's open on your phone, ask God to keep on speaking into it. Pray about it. Be like Daniel. Your man who studied the scriptures diligently. Be a man of prayer and a woman of prayer. Be someone who spends time with Jesus and let him start building that chapter in your life. Let him speak. Lord, how wonderful. How wonderful. So excited, Lord. I want to stretch my hands over us, pray for us, bless us. Even those that are online, Lord, just where they're seated right now, just bless them. Them get excited about Jesus in their season. I thank you. Amen and amen. God bless.